Pam?
Well, I'm going to read two things. I will try to read both of them without comment, because I know that the Lord has something for us through Gary. I don't know how the Lord ministers to you or when you become weary in well-doing, but He does know a way to come right where you are and make a way for you to escape the testing and the trial that you've gone through, because He's the God of all grace. Okay? And He's very, very personal. We say a lot, I'm sure glad I go to this church. I'm going to read you two emails. Both came today. And Gary asked me when he come up, do I have the service? And I hesitated, and I really don't. But some way, you need to know how valuable you are. I don't know how many of you listen to the prophecies, how many of you read them. We had another short meeting today to lay out even an increase of the foundation to make sure that we're doing all that we can for you to hear and read everything that God is saying, because He has a lot on His mind, and He is certainly saying a lot. Okay. This first one is from Ruthie in Ireland, and it's to Donner. And I don't know if Donner's even got to read it yet, but she copied me, and I don't know who else she copied. Hi, Donner. I just wanted to let you know a testimony I have just heard. It was so beautiful that I thought it would bless you. An 83-year-old gentleman from London has just phoned me after he received Dave's book, wanting for prayer to receive his prayer language. He has been saved for 65 years and has been searching for a deeper relationship with the Lord and for the Lord to use him more at 83. He has been brought up under principle and has been very legalistic. He has been suffering from migraine headaches for 3 months and was confessing his healing. He put the TV on, and it was Sid Ross's program. And in his words, a sweet lady from Tulsa was on. He said she caught his attention straight away, and he saw the Lord shining from her, and he said unto himself, he wanted what she had. You must have said about Dave's book, and he got a younger friend to search the net for him and got a hold of me. I only posted the book on Friday, and he has already read it through. That means she mailed it on Friday. He had already read the whole thing through. He talked for about 30 minutes, and we prayed for about 20. Donner, it was like taking a wee little boy, all giggly and happy, after he received his heavenly language. He was just so happy to have heard your testimony, so I thought you would love to hear this. Sometimes I never hear testimony from folks who get books. For me, this time was a blessing. Thank you so much for giving me the privilege of praying with him. I feel so blessed. I'm still smiling. Bless you, Ruth. Hello to everyone at the Family Prayer Center. I've been listening to the materials from Dave Roberson and Gary Carpenter, and other speakers whose materials are available on your website. For about a month now, my wife and I started to employ the practices that are advocated in praying in the Spirit, fasting, and confessing scriptures. My prayer request is that we are given endurance from God to persevere. I hadn't expected that just doing these simple practices would be so difficult. At the moment, we are at the stage we are trying to be faithful by just keeping on going in spite of our feelings of tiredness, futility, and often we feel just plain awful. This is where Gary's teaching about experiencing these sorts of reactions has been valuable. To be honest, even now, logically, it seems like it is the silliest thing to do, but also perhaps wonderful. Also, in that God's plan, don't depend on my limited intelligence. I'm not sure where this is leading us both, Sue and I. Are really some of the most ordinary people you would ever meet, and much of what we hear from the prayer center sounds like a million miles away from where we are at. Even so, God's purpose surely extends to this small place. He lives in Tasmania, Australia. If you look on the map, it's a dot. Okay? And certainly to the people here who currently are unable to experience and see God's purpose for them, bless you folks, and thank you so much for your faithfulness and compassionate hearts.
Hallelujah. He said, Tim says, follow that. And what's amazing is I can. Because I obeyed the Holy Ghost and Sue's a witness. Just as we were leaving the house, I mean, I've already had the door in my hand to close the door. And the Holy Ghost said, take Sunday's prophecy with you. Take Sunday that came through Pastor Dave. So I'd already printed it out. We was looking, Sue came and helped me. We found it. And it fits perfectly with those two testimonies that just came through. Now, we go through the prophecies way too fast. Go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. We taught several messages about doing warfare by the prophecies. How many of y'all remember those? If you don't remember those, they're at the website. They're at ours. I know they're still there, GaryCarpenter.org, under the recent teaching section. They may or may not still be at Ictus. But it's the prophecies that do warfare by the prophecies. And that came from this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Paul says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou By them prophecies. By those prophecies, you mightest war a good warfare. Well, whenever the Lord speaks through Dave or whoever's speaking here, whenever we here at the prayer center, and that when I say prayer center, I mean all of you who are hearing these messages, many people around the world are just as much a part of this vision, a part of this ministry. They just can't physically attend here. But you're just as much included. When these prophecies come forward, they're not just for, I don't want to say amusement. They're not just for a goosebump at the moment. God intends for us to receive those just like what they are, which is instructions. They're to bring change in our life. They're to give us direction. And it's amazing that these two particular testimonies that came in today, one, now don't forget, the first man, how old was he? 83. And the second couple, what was their condition? We're tired. We're worn out. And here comes this message, okay? Now keep that in mind. because we're going to we go through the prophecies, we hear them very often, because if that's the only time, I'll just tell you the truth. People are always asking me to comment afterwards, a week later, after I maybe in a line, the Lord has a word for you. And a week later, they ask me, sometimes months later, they say, what about that word? Explain that. What did God mean? And I say, I don't even remember what he said. Because genuine prophecy doesn't come out of the mind. It comes out of the spirit. My mind, I have a really hard time even remembering what he said to you. Well, very often, when we hear the prophecy, if we only hear it the one time, it's hard to do a warfare over that. So we tend to go through them too quickly. So now I understand why the Lord said, grab this prophecy and bring it with me on the way out, because those two witnesses, you watch how that fits with this right here. All right? So here's what the Lord said. I'm going to read this part of it first. The Lord said this Sunday through Pastor Dave. It says, why do you concern yourselves for that which you can do nothing about? Take my grace and know that my plan for you is in this place. This place meaning the prayer center. He's talking about this place meaning the message. His plan for you is in that message. Therefore, follow my plan. Well, how do you begin to follow that? So, well, I don't even know what my calling is. No, but can you pray in tongues? Can you meditate the word? Can you spend some time in worship? All of the things that go with the message, in the beginning, that's your plan. That's all you need to know. Follow the plan. Listen to the tapes, so like that one couple, that so they'll have some understanding. Oh, this is not going to be a tiptoe through the tulies. You're going to find out there's going to be some obstacles. The devil's going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, trying to stop you. Plus, as if that wasn't bad enough, you're going to meet yourself, and it's ugly. You're going to meet those strongholds. You're going to meet the things that's got to change, and change is not easy. Well, anyway, he says, but if you'll follow my plan, I will give you long life and free life. Now, get this. Think about this for the 83-year-old man. I think about it now. I'm going to be 60 coming up. And really, it could apply to anybody. It could apply to Alan. Alan's already been in. How long would you say you've basically been in ministry, Alan? From the time you started at 17 years, and he's a pup. Look at him. He's just, you know, he's just a child in my view. You know, chronological age. But he's been in ministry a long time. 17 years, a lot of. You know, a lot of pastors, they start thinking about retirement after 17 to 20 years or something, you know. See, it doesn't mean you have to be elderly. You may have been at the prayer center quite a while. Now, just listen to what he says. The Lord said through Dave Sunday, when many of you are thinking about slowing down, is the time that I put wisdom in you and the things that you know others need to know. When many of you are thinking about slowing down, I'm thinking about speeding you up. That 83-year-old man, he said, was like a little child. 83 years old and just now got the Holy Ghost. I bet he feels like his ministry is just beginning. We need to feel like that. Well, I've been here so long and I've prayed through so many strongholds. I feel like I'm just a piece of messed up meat now. I'm just, you know, just... I just tired of this praying. I'm just going to go make a good living now. No, you're going to serve the Lord all the days of your life and go home to a big reward. That's what you're going to do. And he's talking about speeding you up, not slowing you down. All right. He continues. He says, and know this, he that follows me closely in the Spirit, I can do those things for you. Therefore, do not let up, nor turn away, nor quit, for I have something for all of you to do, says the Lord. Look around at somebody. Look, say, that means you. That means you. Darnell, there's nobody by you, so that means you. You hear me? That means Gary. That means Sue. That means you. Even Michael, think about it. God's got something for Michael. Think about it. Everybody. You've got something for you to do. You to do. Hallelujah. All right? Now here comes great revelation knowledge. Now this next part is deep calleth unto deep. Many of you need to change your thinking. It amazes me how kind the Lord is. I mean, really, what a kind way to say it. For you're thinking about slowing down and serving yourself. I've had enough of this praying. I've had enough of this fasting. I've had enough of these messages. I've heard this message till it's running out my ears. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going back to the first church where they'll treat me with a little respect and appreciate my giving and my gifts. Besides that, I'm tired of this. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go fishing. You remember when Peter, after the crucifixion, he just said, I'm going to go back to fishing. Well, that was his previous occupation. And if you're, many people are called to their whole ministry is in the market world. That's fine. But you don't give up your calling, whether he's called you to preach behind a pulpit or preach in the realm of business. Be a witness to, you know, again, one of the most common prayer requests we get all the time. Please, please pray, Gary and Sue, please, that God would take me out from this workplace. It's nothing but a bunch of heathen here. All they do is cuss and play rock and roll music and do all this terrible stuff. And I want to be with a bunch of nice Christians. Please pray. And I used to, because I didn't have the mind of Christ. I used to agree with them, you know. Now I write back to them or tell them, I say, look, why? I can't pray with you against God's will. You ought to feel honored that He thinks you're a vessel of His that He can use as a light in a dark place. You're the only Jesus these people have in their life. They're not going to church for crying out loud. You're it. You're their hope. You got to get your quit thinking about you and let Christ minister through you. Hallelujah. I've got something for you to do, he says. I got something for you to do. I got to read that sentence again. That's a good one. Many, but they're all good ones. Many of you need to change your thinking. I wonder what the 83-year-old man, I hope he gets to hear this message. We love you, brother. I never met you, but I sure love you now. I hope you, I know this is a word for you. The Lord's wanting to speed you up, my friend. Your ministry's just beginning now. Listen to this whole thing. It says, many of you need to change your thinking. For you're thinking about slowing down and serving yourself. And I'm thinking about you speeding up and serving me. There's no one that walks forward in me that suffers in their self from obeying me. For what most of you are looking for, you will not find it in retirement. How many of y'all even remember that being in that, you know, a few caught it, you know, Sunday when it come forward, you know? You will not find it in retirement. You will find it in places in me. For I am your strength and I am your health, says the Lord. I welcome your energy as a living sacrifice. I welcome you that surrender all of your life on my altar. Young or old. Alex, stand up. Stand up. Yes, you're the Alex. Now, this is a young man. I could pick out others. It's a young man from his background is from the Ukraine. He is employed at Tulsa University. Anyway, a local university as a translator for people that speak Russian. Ukrainian? Is that a language? Ukrainian? Now, can y'all come here? Stand next to me. Okay, I got to be an authority. I'll be taller than you. Stand right here. It's the only way I'm ever taller than anybody. I got to stand on something. Can you tell there's a little difference in our age? Can you tell? Yeah? Huh? How old are you?
31.
I wasn't even saved when I was your age. I didn't get saved till I was 33. Now look at what he knows compared to what I knew at age 31. Now, He's got the whole world as his oyster. I could pick all these young people. I could pick them out all over the place. You could go spend your life serving yourself. What are you doing here? In this old church with the wore-out carpet and the sloping floors on a Wednesday night. God bless you. God bless you. You've got a ministry. You've got knowledge. You look at him, you look at me. As far as I'm concerned, we both have the same amount of time to serve the Lord. I really expect I'll still be alive when the Lord returns. So, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that he's 31 and I'm not. I'm not going to... We're just beginning. Just beginning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Alex. Young or old, he says. Let me read it to you again. See, it's not just people wanting to retire. They want to retire. I tell you what, the war gets long. The war, that purging, that mortification, it gets tiresome. Who was? One person said one time, David given the assignment of reading 1 John 30 times, I believe it was. Maybe 50. Well, 1 John is the love book. I mean, it's all about love, you know. So this person was about maybe 20 times he'd been through it. He says, I'm telling you what, if I could read about love one more time, I'm going to kill somebody. Maybe that's when it went from 30 to 50. It gets tiresome. It gets old. You get wore out. You get tired. You become weary and well-doing. I'm sure glad Ruth hasn't got weary and well-doing. I bet that 83-year-old man is glad Ruth didn't get weary and well-doing. Sending out those books and doing the postage, and she's like a little satellite office over there in Ireland, you know, just sending out, just doing the word, you know, just doing what God's called her to do. Hallelujah. I welcome your energy as a living sacrifice. I welcome you that surrender all of your life on my altar, young or old. I've got places for you, places in me of obedience and great reward. Know you not that your gifting, working together with the other giftings, makes the most effective operation that I have? Now think about this. It wasn't in Ruthie. I love you, Ruthie. It wasn't in Ruthie to write the book. That's not what God called her to do. God used Dave. All those teachings, and he used a lot of people to help bring that book to come to pass. But Ruthie is in a place in the world that she can do what Dave can't do. See, she's in a place where she can distribute those books. She's got an outreach, people that otherwise would probably never get that message. Now, he's got something for you to do. Say, well, I can't preach like Dave, I can't do this and I can't do that. Can you mail? Can you put a book in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and send it somewhere? I mean, that's just one of thousands of things that he's got in mind. But we get Dave's gifting combined with what he has you do, and it greatly multiplies what God originally gave Dave, see? All of us working together with the gifts that he has given us. I'll just be honest with you. People in the 30-year bracket will listen to someone like Alex, these young people. They have I mean, for crying out loud, you know. I remember the generation I grew up in, you didn't trust anybody over 30. Oh, my God. My favorite cereal bowl is older than that now. I mean, you know, I know it is because I had it when Sue and I got married, and we've been married over 30 years. You know, they're going to relate with somebody in their 20s or 30s a lot differently than they relate to somebody my age. But boy, I got my place in the body. I got my place, what he's called me to do. Hallelujah. Well, it's the third time he's brought this up, so I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do it in a way where you'll never figure out who it is. God just has a way of letting you know stuff. Can I do this? She doesn't have any idea. Well, it's the third time it's come up. Let me just tell you how little things work together. This is a perfect example of how all things working together, how God takes this one and that one. I'm not even going to tell you what state it was in. It doesn't matter. Years ago, Sue and I preached at a certain church. And at that time, the Lord was trying to get that pastor and his wife, whom we really liked, connected with the message. He was trying to get them involved. And at first, they kind of did. They came to a conference or two. I don't remember. One or at least one, maybe two. And for a little while, and we ministered in their church in another state a couple of times. But eventually, you know, people make their choices. And he kind of turned against, he didn't kind of, he eventually really turned against the message. And he wound up going more the prosperity gospel way. Let me just say it that way. Okay? Well, I got a phone call today from someone I've never, no, she called yesterday, and I wound up calling her, returning the call today. A lady I've never met, but come to find out, she used to go to that church. And in her mind, she got really hurt there. And especially she hadn't, at that time, she hadn't been in church for years, wasn't planning on going back. She'd had it with church, but years had gone by. And she thought, well, I'm going to give a church a try. And she just picked that particular one and went that day. And the message was, it was all about money. And if you don't give, God can't bless you and you're cursed and all of this stuff. It just wasn't exactly what she wanted to hear. But she kept going back for a little while, but she wouldn't agree with that message. And finally, according to her, they kicked her out. They just wouldn't let her come anymore because she wasn't going to agree with the message. I'm really trying to dance around this, but I'm trying to get to the main issue. Now, time went by. She has some kind of little business where the UPS people bring supplies. And she was just visiting with the UPS driver one day for a few minutes, and it came up something about church, and she mentioned that experience. Now, I haven't had a chance to check this out. I'm pretty sure I know who the UPS driver is. But he says, wait just a minute. She was telling him pretty much what I just got through telling you. He goes out to his truck, and he brings her a tape by this Gary Carpenter guy. And the particular tape, for those of you that's heard it, is the widow's mite. Now, if you've heard that tape, you know it's the death. It is the death of false prosperity gospel. You know? If you survive that one, you're on your way. You know? She said it completely salvaged her. That was years ago, 5 years ago. And the reason it completely, just that one message, turned her life around and got her started back on the right path. Now, 5 years later, she's writing a book. The title is going to be Lord, Are You There? And she wants to include that story in the book, so she was calling to get permission. Now, isn't that something? Now, the thing of it is, she had never heard another message by me or by Pastor Dave. I said, are you aware that we have websites? Anyway, I let her know that there's tons of material. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you this, since I happen to know. That particular pastor, we just loved them. They were sweethearts. God was trying to salvage them. He was trying to get them on this path. They had a choice. The picture I get when I pray about them, you know, it talks about walking out into the river, ankle deep, knee deep, hip deep. Finally, it becomes waters to swim in. They walked out about ankle deep, didn't like it, turned around and walked back out. Now, just so you'll know the end of the story, that pastor and his wife wound up getting divorced. And I don't even know if either one of them is in ministry today or not. Now, I want you to look at all the different pieces of the puzzle that God used to salvage that lady, everybody adding their little part. In the first place, that message, the widow's mite, that's one of them that I taught at LaRue's church when nobody else was asking us to come anywhere. That was one of the few places that we ever went. In fact, and that particular message, God had to incubate in my spirit for 3 years. I had it 3 years before He let me preach it. He had to incubate it and meditate on it, make sure that I understood it in the context, and check it out against all the other scriptures about it, and because it is a serious subject. And so I did my part, okay? And then we made the tape available for free. Y'all know how we do that. So it wound up in other people's hands all around the world. So we did our part. Now you got this little UPS driver. He gets the tape and listens to it and likes it, and, you know. But he recognizes the call of God when somebody's hurting, and he says, I think I've got something for you. And so he didn't pass up the Lord's leading. He knows he can get another free one anyway if he wants one. See? Or 100 of them. And so he just goes out to the truck and gives it to her. And she was shocked to find out. Now, you don't know this. She didn't know that we had ministered in that very church years and years ago until I spoke with her today. But in all of those things working together, everyone adding their little part, the UPS driver included, and he rescues a lady from religion. Can you see how this prophecy comes to pass? I have something for you to do, says the Lord. All right, let me go on with this now. I'm going to read that last paragraph again. He says, I welcome your energy as a living sacrifice. I welcome you that surrender all of your life on my altar, young or old. I have got places for you, places in me of obedience and great reward. Know you not that your gifting, working together with the other giftings, makes the most effective operation that I have? Therefore, take your place and be strong. Now, when he says take your place in the context, what's he talking about? Launch out into your ministry? Is that what he said? What's he been talking about? This is a test. Do the message. That's what he's talking about. Do the message. Let me read. You're not amen. Amen. I don't believe you got it yet. I'm going to back up. It's all right. Lock the doors. Take my grace and know that my plan for you is in this place. Now, you could take it as being the place of grace if you want to. I feel just like Tim. I am so glad I go to this church. I think, of all the people on earth, how did I wind up here? You talk about God's grace, that I get to hear the things that I've got to hear, the revelation that I've been allowed to hear, the message and understanding the message. You talk about the grace of God. The day that we walked through the doors of this church, we walked into God's grace. But then all of that, we're just like that little pastor, though. We had a choice. Because y'all have been around here long enough to know, you walk out in the water, you start doing the message, you're going to find there's some resistance there. You're going to find there's some problems there. I mean, I've run back out of that river I don't know how many times. Sharks! Something's biting on me in there. Yeah? He's trying to purge you. What he's talking about is doing this message. Therefore, follow my plan. What does that mean to you? Follow my plan. The one that he established in this place. And he'll bring you into his calling. Okay, enough on that one. Yield yourself to me. Yield yourself to me, and you will see. Now here he's talking about confession in particular. For you cannot speak my word and yield yourself to me without gratitude, turning into flurries of worship. And worship will turn into statements of faith. And in this fellowship with me, you have what you ask. Therefore, receive now. Is that good stuff or what? Should I read that again? Yield yourself to me, yield yourself to me, and you will see. For you cannot speak my word and yield yourself to me without gratitude turning into flurries of worship, and worship will turn into statements of faith. And in this fellowship with me, you have what you ask. Therefore, receive now. Go to 1 John. First John chapter 5. This is John's way of stating what Jesus taught in Mark 11, 23 and 24. But I think of this especially when it... See, now I listened to, in the Word of Faith movement, I heard the best of the best teach Mark 11, 23 and 24. And I learned it verbatim. Not just those verses, I learned the whole message that goes with it. And I could preach faith, I could dissect it, I could teach it in fine detail. Only one trouble. I couldn't live it myself because I did not have the relationship with the Lord that those men had. I was just trying to do it all by formula. And it's really a lot more than just a formula. It's a relationship. You're in a family, not a religion. So this confidence comes. Now notice how he says this. He says, yield yourself to me, yield yourself to me, and you'll see, for you cannot speak my word and yield yourself to me without gratitude turning into flurries of worship, and worship will turn into statements of faith. Now notice, and in this fellowship with me, you have what you ask. See, you can't spend time with the Lord that, especially praying in other tongues, he won't set your feet on his path for your life. You and him are going to start walking together down the same path. And it's a fellowship. You're going to start seeing things different. You're going to start understanding things different. There is a fellowship that comes, and as that happens, there's a confidence that comes in you that you know you are walking with Jehovah. You know he is with you. And when you ask something, you have confidence because you've been in fellowship with him. You know it's according to his will. And that's what John is talking about here in 1 John. Verse 14 of chapter 5, he says, this is the confidence, see? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Now, in the early days, now I never was this stupid. I use this example because everyone can understand it. In the early days, I didn't know anything about fellowship with the Lord. I just wanted faith. And I thought it was a formula. So I took all those, you know, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Well, let's go to extremes. And I wasn't quite this stupid. I was almost this stupid. But let's say I took that and I just used it like, I'm going to force God. Boy, I've got him now. I've got his word. Whatever thing, what things soever I desire. What things I desire when I pray. I believe I receive it and I shall have it. God, I want, for benefit of the tape, I'm like arm wrestling God now. God, I want 7 Cadillac cars. I believe I'm asking for them right now. I want 7 Cadillac cars, a different color for every day of the week. I want brand new ones. I want them debt free. I believe I receive when I pray. And I shall have them. It's almost like, if you can see what I'm doing here, I'm like arm wrestling God. I'm taking his own word. And I'm forcing him to give me what I desire. If you think how that's how faith works, you need to do the message. We're not on earth to get him to serve us. We are here to serve him. Now, as we serve him, all the resources of heaven and earth will come under dominion in order for you to accomplish whatever it is he's called you to do. See, this confidence that John is talking about, that comes from a relationship, not a formula. You spend time with him, he changes your want-tos. You know, it makes sense? He changes what you want in life. He changes everything about you. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. When I first came, one of the... Dave doesn't even know this. I don't know. Well, I don't know if he does. He may. In those days, he would say often. He doesn't say it much anymore. But in those days, it was the perfect example for me. He says, I am a faith man. What is our creed? He says, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God and what I believe. My underwear is made out of a Tulsa faith flag. How many of y'all have been here long enough to remember that? And I'd go, yes, yes. He didn't know I was totally a Word of Faith guy, you know. I mean, I was going, yes, I'm in the right church. Hallelujah. But then he would add this, and we had been 12 years of trying to live by faith without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he says, now you need to be a person of faith. You don't throw that out. He says, but what you need is a leadership of the Holy Spirit. He says, you're trying to live by faith, but yet you don't know God's plan for your life. You don't know what He's called you to do. So maybe you're doing your best and you're going in a certain direction, and it's just flat not God's plan for your life. And so there's all kinds of obstacles and roadblocks in the way, and you're trying to knock them down, thinking that's the way you're supposed to go. And the Holy Spirit the whole time's over there trying to point you down God's path for your life. But you need to spend time with the Holy Spirit until you start finding out what direction it is the Lord wants you to go. Then when you know that and you start on that path, now that's the time. No matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what it looks like, if that's what God said for you, if that's what He called you to do and told you to go that way, now, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God and what I believe, only what He told me. This is the confidence that I have in Him. If I ask anything according to His will, I know that He hears me. And that's really all I need to know, because if He hears me, brother, I have the petitions that I desire of Him. And I said, well, Sue and I would talk about it often, and said, that's the missing link. That's what we've been missing. It's good to have faith. It's good to know all those foundational things. So many people now are just throwing the whole thing out with the baby with the bathwater. Well, you're going to have to relearn it later on, because the Bible's not going to change for you. You can throw it out if you want. You can go through and learn it again later. Mark 11:23 is still in there. Mark 11:24 is still in there. Be there next millennium too. You can throw it out if you want, but you're still going to have to live by faith to please God. But what we need is the combination, not just the Word of faith, but we need the Word of faith with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Boy, now you've got something. Now you have got something. Is that good stuff or what? See, that's what the Lord's saying. This is my plan for you. He said, this is my plan. I have things for you to do. Just do the message. I notice here lately it's been interesting how you can tell we don't any longer get to choose our own messages. And it's and Sue says, that's good. But it's amazing how the Lord's been just here lately, some just fundamentals of faith again. Fundamentals, things. He doesn't want us to let those things slip. Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? Don't we go through these prophecies too fast? If you have not yet signed up by email to receive those prophecies, you need to do it. All right. Hallelujah. Now, this came during an invitation to surrender attitudes and failures. Remember when he says we need to change the way we think? I find it especially instructional coming through Pastor Dave based on recent events. Let me just say it that way. Knowing the war and the healing that's going on. I find this especially instructional coming through his mouth right now. Learn to adjust your attitude long before you get to the victory. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the evil one. And has it not been for you? It has been for no one else but you. So be of good cheer and rejoice. For my delight, here it is that word again, my delight is in the fellowship that I have with you, says the Lord. My grace is well able Now, if I didn't know better, this next part, I would think that the Holy Spirit almost consulted with my earthly father, O.R. Carpenter. These were the kinds of things I was raised with. Boy, it's always boy. Still is, I'm almost 60, and it's still a boy. There's no such thing as can't. Just can't hardly. It may be hard, but you can do it. There's no such thing as can't. So when I hear things like this, and he says, therefore, my grace is well able to abound above what you could ask or think. Therefore, take your can'ts. Did y'all get that? Can'ts? Cannots? Take your can'ts and take your failures and come up and kneel down and turn them over to me and let me give you my strength in their place. So take your can'ts and cannots and your attitudes and come up here and surrender them to me, says the Lord. Now, I've been around here a long time. I can't tell you the number of times that I have come up and got on the green line or knelt at the altar and left all my can'ts with the Lord. And then can'ts are kind of like worries. Sue and I drive a town car, but can'ts and worries drive a Ferrari. Like Dave says, this is like, you know what's coming. This is a, hey, when I can't improve on it, I just steal it, okay? So that's what Dave has taught us for years, your worries and your can'ts. Oh, you were serious? Man, it's an altar call like that. Dave slapped you upside the head and that anointing hit you and all my can'ts are gone. Mm-hmm. You drive your car home, whatever you drive. I doubt you're driving a Ferrari. And when you get there, the can'ts beat you there. And suddenly what was impossible this morning is impossible again tonight. And so the devil of Samo attacks you in the morning and your life doesn't change. Now, Sue and I were just talking about this. You know, one of the best illustrations, and I, again, not knowing what the Lord was going to do tonight exactly, I didn't look up the scripture, but you can look it up later. It's where the Lord in the Old Testament was talking to about Zerubbabel. And he says, before Zerubbabel, this mountain shall become a plain. He shall shout grace to the mountain. Y'all remember that? We were trying to picture this analogy. Why this visual thing? Have you ever been to the Rocky Mountains? Boy, I mean, they are impressive. You see them for over 100 miles away. That is, if you're driving across Kansas. I always tell Sue, I said, Kansas is geologically challenged, you know. It's pretty flat. I love Kansas. And if you live in Kansas, we love you, okay? But it's pretty flat. You can see the Rockies for like 100, 150 miles before you get there. But boy, when you get there, now think about a mountain. Think about people that are on foot. Think about people in the Old Testament that don't have airplanes and they don't have cars. And you come up to a mountain like that range. I mean, it looks, the reason for the mountains, it looks like an obstacle you could never get over. You're on this side and you're trying to get on the other side, but you look at that mountain and it looks impossible. That's why Jesus talked about mountains and the way he spoke to it. But let's stay with the Old Testament. So here's this insurmountable problem. Now, there's all kinds of things. It usually starts with personal things. Let's take a mountain of unforgiveness. Some of you don't have much trouble with that. Some of you do. You just don't know what they did to me. I just can't forgive. It's like a mountain you can't ever get over. Others might be struggling with some kind of physical addiction. Others might be struggling with other things. Some of you might be like me and Jimmy Miller. We're going to start a new Bible college called God, You Said What? Because every time God says something to us and wants us to do it, it looks impossible. It's like a mountain you can't get over. Well, what was the prophecy? Shout grace to it. Shout grace to it. You know what will happen? God's power comes on the scene. And that mountain that looks impossible, it becomes a level field. Jesus said it this way, that you talk to it, you command it to go into the sea, and that mountain will remove, if it removes, what's left but level ground. And we said it this way, what he's saying is his grace. Don't be moved by that mountain. His grace is sufficient. And that mountain, no matter how impossible it looks, before us, it'll become a level field for us to walk on. It's not going to stop us. It's not even going to slow us down. Glory to God. Glory to God. Those mountains represent your can'ts. Past failures. Well, I've always been like this. It's always been that way. That's why what has been is not what shall be. It's not going to stay the same. I'll tell you again, like David said, you better just affectionately pat that empty chair next to you. And be grateful later on when you're standing around the wall that you had opportunity to sit for a while. Because things are not going to stay the way they are. Take your can'ts and cannots, give them to me, surrender them to me, says the Lord. If you do that and learn to really do it, and couple this all together with speaking, start speaking God's word, quit letting the can'ts come out of your mouth. You're empowering failure. You're empowering your own mountain. Talk to it. Command it to go. It's not going to stay that way either. In a very small example, I'm trying to reduce this mountain called my body right now. It's getting smaller. Slowly. This mountain is resisting me. But it is going to obey me. Now, in the same way, how about that mountain 2 years ago when I couldn't go up and down these steps like you've been seeing me tonight? You talk about a mountain, I could barely walk. Had to start talking to that thing. Had to speak to it. If I'd have let that mountain get any bigger, thank God for Sue telling me I needed to change what I was saying, it could have put me in a wheelchair by now. Hallelujah. Am I preaching good yet, or are you just being quiet? Okay. Take your can'ts and cannots, surrender them to me, says the Lord. Now, Dave made some comments that are anointed. I'm going to go ahead and read these. Boy, that fellow with the... I'm moving all over. Can you stay up with me? Guy with the camera. It says it took prophesying and edifying to get you to this point because he wants to meet with you. And did you know his joy is at the end of the road? It's a culmination of having overcome can'ts and difficult places and bad attitudes and the giving up spirit. Anyone been attacked with a giving up spirit? I'm telling you, it's like not just a wave here, but it's a wave through the whole body of Christ. He says, no one can walk for you, not really. No one can walk in your place. They can stand with you and get you healed in different things at times, but nobody can walk in your place. Nobody can stand in your place before him in that day. Nobody else has your fingerprint. They don't have your DNA. In all eternity, you're going to be just as unique as you are now, so get used to it. It's just you and him. Come on, nobody can succeed or fail for you. It is you we can help and teach and point the way, but in the end, it's you. Then he prayed, Father, wash them. Take their can't and their bad attitudes and their failure and their despair and the giving up spirit and make that adjustment inside of them. That first step up in the fight of faith and the seasons of peace, give them a step up with the manifestation of joy. And the enjoyable strength from living in that place of joy in Jesus' name. And again, I have to say, based on recent events, I find those words even more instructional. And I got one more. I saved this one for the last. It's really the first part of the prophecy. The Lord says, where I reside is in their healing. For this is something I have already done. Boy, if you don't, I know, get this. The biggest mistake you'll ever make is asking the question, why didn't the Lord heal me? That's just as foolish as somebody coming to the altar to get saved and then walking back to their seat and saying, why didn't the Lord save me? There's no such thing as Him not saving you. You know that. The work's already been done. There's no such thing as Him not healing you. The only thing in the New Testament we have that would prevent it is unforgiveness or being in strife. That's it. Don't go on fishing trips. You know if you're in strife with somebody. And you know if you're really carrying unforgiveness towards somebody. Repent and be healed. But other than that, it's looking and looking and looking. I've known people that died because they spent their time, rather than call those things that be not as though they were and rejoice over the fact that they're healed in the midst of their symptoms, rather than do that, they spent the next 10 years trying to figure out why God didn't heal them, which is a total exercise in unbelief. Because He's not coming back to take those stripes again. It's already been done. So examine yourself for forgiveness. Oh, and one other thing I'm hearing is obedience. A very prominent minister said, actually they said about him, because he'd been healed of many incurable things. They said, if you ever hear that he's sick, don't pray that God heals him. Pray that he obeys God. Obedience, disobedience is another one. Anyway, I'll just read the prophecy now. I'll quit preaching and just read. How's that? Boy, you guys are quiet. You scare me. He says, where I reside is in their healing, for this is something I've already done. Leave where you are and come where I am, that I might be able to perform this, says the Lord. For I am the Lord your God who healeth you. It is my desire, as I have been saying to you in my word and in prophecy, to mass gather together those of this city and to perform. For I will take the result of the curse and reverse it. And I will perform the miraculous and do those things that cause an inflow into my life. Now see, you either believe this or you're at the wrong church. I believe that down to my toenails or I would not be here. I know the mandate that God gave to Dave. When I first time I ever heard it, it resonated in my spirit. Come, join yourself to this. I've called you. Hold up the arms. Hold up the arms. I've called you to this. To be a part of it. God has given this church, we have a narrow focus. We have an assignment. We know exactly what we're called to do. As a body. Now, individually, we all have individual things. But as a body, we are called to go far enough into God. To pull out the supernatural. To bring a miraculous revival to a religious city. And that'll be the beginning. That's what we're called to do. And here he says it again, not only in the Word, he says, I've told you in the Word and I've told you in prophecy. It's my desire to gather those of this city together and to perform. I will take the result of the curse and I will reverse it. And I will perform the miraculous and do those things that cause an inflow into my life. He's talking about people getting saved because of it. For those who walked in my spirit and followed after me, there always was a time when they've taken what I've given them as believers and brought it to those who were under the curse. Think about Jesus sending out the 12. What did he say to them? Cleanse the leper. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. What are they doing? They're reversing the curse. And they're doing it. None of those people were born again. They're doing it amongst people that are not born again. They're reversing the curse. Well, what happens when Peter stands up on the first day after Pentecost? 3,000 of them get saved. Second message, 5,000 get saved. Hallelujah. Know this, that these signs do follow them that believe. You lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. You'll speak with my new tongue and you will cast devils out. Therefore, be not afraid and withhold not. For which of you needs my life that will bring you to heaven? For many out there do not have my life. Take my tools, which he's calling these supernatural operations, these gifts. Take my tools and go to them that you might bring them life. Now, this is a change. This is one of the, he's never said anything about going out. But I don't remember it spoken quite like this before. Where he says, now, take the tools, take the equipping, go out and do what you know to do. What he's saying is, I will back you up. I will perform. I will do the miraculous. Say amen or oh me, say something. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When many of you are thinking about slowing down, this, I'm reading it again. This is the time that I put wisdom in you. And the things that you know, others need to know. When many of you are thinking about slowing down, I'm thinking about speeding you up. How many are ready to be sped up? Just stand up for a moment. Let's just stand for a moment. Say, Father, I'm a candidate for this. I want to be in the speeded up group. Once again, Lord, I'm handing you all of my cannots, all of my failures, all of my despair. And right now, Father, by your grace, I am receiving your strength. There's no such thing as can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I refuse can't. In Jesus' name, I can. I can do this message. I can pray. I can meditate. I can confess your word. I can fast. I can worship. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, I said this Sunday night, apparently that one part lodged in me more than I realized, because y'all remember that was here Sunday night. I said, can you feel it? I said, there's another separation coming. I said, you know, we've had that prophecy for a long time. The fast are going to go faster and the slow are going to go slower. But I said, I feel even a separation coming, because the fast are going to go even faster than they have. See, and that this part, I want to speed you up, he says. I didn't realize that in my mind, but my spirit, it must have lodged in my spirit. I want to be in the fast group, y'all. I do not want to be on the sidelines watching revival. I don't want to be on that side of the line. I want to be on the ministry side of the line. I want to be a vessel that the Lord can use. Amen. Let this be a night of renewing ourselves. I don't want to say a vow or a pledge or anything like that. Just a renewal on the inside. The things that we know to do, bless God, let's do them. Let's do them. Amen? The Lord's got work to do, and He's got some part for each and every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now again, this isn't this one. He already had the line. He had the line Sunday. This is decision time. This is this. Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and say that. Kura masanda libreto kista. I'll say that. God, really? Pura brastunda libreto. Buramaseko matesa. Mundara brato. Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly, as entertainment almost, and something of small value. For I've not had you here all of this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm tonight I gather you unto myself. And I am rekindling an appetite in you. An appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you. That they become your very life. More precious than gold. More needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does to the blood. Esteem my word, yes, sir, with the measure that you give my word. That is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. These prophecies, just so you'll know, are available at Ictus. Ictus, IKTUS.net. You need to print them out.